Some years ago, a fellow priest was talking to me about the life and the development of churches. And he invited me to consider the theology and the character of churches in the light of their patron saint. His thesis was that the name and life of the patron saint influence the life of that and function of that church. Now, there may be some truth in that. However, we gather today as a parish and a church dedicated to St. Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some important questions relating to this. What did Mary do that shows God's purpose? What does Mary model for the Christian life? What did Mary do that focuses God's call to this church? The gospel today came from the song Mary sang in praise to God, and the Magnificat opens with, "My soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Now, why would Mary sing to God in that way? What filled her heart to overflowing that enabled her to rejoice from the very depths of her being? And the reason is that she heard from God. We're told that the Lord's messenger, the angel Gabriel, came to her and spoke to her and said, "Greetings, you highly favored one. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. His kingdom will never end." There are several keys in unwrapping this and looking at what Mary has to say and do that affect us. The first key is hearing God's word. God had prepared Mary's heart to receive this specific message. And the background of the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, the Psalms, had all created the environment of faith. And Mary was part of this, and she was open to hearing God's word. And the environment of faith and the story of God's dealing with his people prepared her to hear from God. And it was a turning point in history. Now, we know that God has spoken to us in Jesus. For example, the writer to the Hebrews says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And so the New Testament is the record of God's address to us in Jesus. So what did Mary do that shows God's purpose? Mary was open and listening to hear God speak. And as Christians, we are to be people also open to hear God through Scripture and the Spirit. And we need to, when we are reading and when we are open to God, we need to be saying, "God, what are you saying?" And listen attentively. Hearing God's word. The second key is surrendering to God in obedience. So what was Mary's response to the Lord? She was fearful, yet she was faithful. And her response was, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you said about me come true." A huge yes to God. And it's that faith, that surrender from Mary, that God looks for in all called people. Mary portrayed this attitude again later in life, in her life. And you remember that at the wedding in Canaan, when the wine ran out, Mary told the servants to listen to Jesus. And she told them, "Do whatever he tells you." Again, the same lesson. Listen. Listen to God. Do what he tells you. And so Mary models obedience. And God wants us as Christians also to do what he says and to do what he wants. God wants us to obey, to listen, and to do what he says, so that we can indeed say, "Jesus is Lord." The third key is experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. This is highlighted by the question that Mary addresses to the angel when he says that she is to give birth, and she says to him, "How will this be? How is it going to happen?" And the reply is, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called..." Not that. He will actually be called the Son of God. And so the message from God was that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will embrace you. The Holy Spirit will envelop you. And Mary experienced a direct creative act of God. God deeply touched her life. But it doesn't start and stop with Mary, because God continues this. And the key feature of God's work and action in the lives of Christians in every age, in fact, is the work and power of the Holy Spirit. And in the last 50 years, there's been a significant new move of the Holy Spirit in the church today. And God is empowering and blessing ordinary Christian people who are open and obedient to him. But experiencing God, as important and vital as that is not an end in itself. So what is it for? Why does God want to envelop us and embrace us with the Holy Spirit? And the answer is, it is for bearing fruit. The process of God's promise, the work of the Holy Spirit, and Mary's surrender resulted in the birth of Jesus. And Jesus' birth was pivotal and transforming event, and it changed the world for us all. And so we honor Mary as the obedient servant and therefore the bearer of God's Son to the world. And through her, God came to us in human flesh and took our nature upon him. And St. John in his Gospel sublimely expresses it this way: "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish." And so in that sublime engagement, God comes to us and calls us to join in becoming a people of the kingdom. God calls us to be transformed into the likeness of Christ and also to express Jesus' life through us. God calls us as Christians also to bear fruit. Jesus said, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And so bearing fruit is a sign of a disciple. The purpose of knowing God is to bear fruit. Some of you may know that when I was first ordained and a curate at All Saints in Palmerston North, I also became the first chaplain to Massey University. And one of the things that I developed was that I would regularly visit the campus and meet up with students. And of course, being a largely residential campus, they all lived there. And so one could knock on their doors and go in and talk with them and so on. And this was a regular pattern, at least once a week. At the same time, I read a book called The Second Evangelical Awakening by a man called Edward Orr. And I think actually it was the thesis that he wrote for his degree at Oxford. And he talks about various forms of revival, which sounded absolutely exciting and amazing. One thing in all of it that struck me was a prayer that he referred to. And the prayer was, "Lord, send a revival and let it begin with me." I rather liked that prayer, and so I decided that I would use it. I meant it, but I really did like the prayer. And so it so happened that before I would go out to Massey to visit students, I would spend some time in prayer, praying for God to guide me as I went out, and encountered and talked to students. And then I always finished with this prayer: "Lord, send a revival and let it begin with me." And to my amazement, regularly, I would have the opportunity in discussions of leading the students to a personal faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you may immediately think, "Oh, isn't that wonderful? That was a good prayer to offer." I have to confess that it wasn't for some time later, years actually, that I actually made the connection and thought, "Oh, maybe there's a connection between praying that prayer and what God did as I led students to Christ." Click, penny dropped. Mary is the supreme example of bearing Christ. And God is calling us as individuals and as a parish also to be Christ bearers. As a church, we're called to be a group of people who know and share Christ in our community, to give birth into the lives of people around us. And that's what it means to be called the people of God, and to be, in fact, the people of the kingdom. And so this celebration today of St. Mary, our patron saint, gives us all the opportunity to evaluate and to respond to God anew. It's an opportunity to come to terms afresh with our call as Christians and to pledge ourselves to be obedient followers of Jesus Christ, to know what it means to be called people of God. And so I want to pause at this point and for us to spend a few moments in silence and in our hearts, like Mary, to say yes to God afresh and to expect new beginnings. Let's just We'll spend time in silence and now close with a prayer. God of grace, grant that Mary's obedience may inspire us to obey your will and to receive Jesus Christ in our hearts as Lord. May the all-transforming grace of the Holy Spirit lead and empower us to new horizons. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen.